This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. A welcome, my dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, Hayyakumullah. Brothers and sisters, our current series, the series on this pillar of Al-Islam, none other than the matter of Zakah. And today being our third installment in our current Zakah series, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we've already discussed in great detail the linguistic definition with regards to zakah. We discussed the legal definition. We spoke about the fact that it was an obligation, made an obligation upon the Muslims when, in the second year after the hijrah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although there were 8 instances of zakah being mentioned during the revelation in Makkah al-Mukarramah. We also stated the one who denies zakah is no longer a Muslim. As for the one who is lazy and lax, then punishment in this world and in the hereafter, we discussed in great detail. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we discussed the wisdoms related to zakah payment. Wisdoms related to the one who pays and the one who receives, mashaAllah. The question we discussed, zakah is an obligation upon whom? We said that zakah is an obligation upon every Muslim. Subcategory. Is zakah an obligation upon the wealth of the child, the wealth of the insane, the wealth of the senile? We discussed this mas'ala in great detail. We saw that majority of these scholars oblige zakah upon the wealth and not necessarily the body. So they're not looking with regards to who the individual might be, but rather as long as you are Muslim and you have the wealth, zakah is an obligation upon you. That's the opinion of majority of the ulama. As for the Hanafi scholars, then they make qiyas that zakah is similar to salah. Salah is not an obligation upon the ones who are young, upon the ones who are insane. So zakah, the same would apply. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We moved on to the mas'ala of zakah being an obligation upon the one who is free. The one who owns the quantum, the threshold, the minimum, the nisab, has complete ownership over the wealth and the whole, the lunar cycle has to pass over it. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We discussed in our previous majlis, zakatable assets. Zakah is not an obligation upon every type of wealth you have, every type of property or item you have. No, rather zakah is only an obligation upon zakatable assets. We look at your assets, not necessarily your income. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, zakah is an obligation upon your cash, your monies, your currencies, your gold, your silver, debtors, money owed to you, rental income, your shares, etc. Zakah is also an obligation, number 2, upon your trading stock, your raw material. Number 3, upon your livestock, conditional by that it must be free grazing for most of the year. It must not be for use. So that cow that you use to plow your fields, not zakatable, walhamdulillah. And number 3, that it's only upon bahimatul an'am, upon these upon the cattle, upon your camels, your cows, upon that cattle, and also upon sheep and goats. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the last type of wealth that zakah is an obligation upon, your agricultural produce, walhamdulillah. As for your house, your car, your footing, your fixtures, your diamonds, mashaAllah, your holiday house, mashaAllah, your boats, all of this, not zakatable. Yes, if you are somebody who trades in diamonds, you are somebody who trades in horses, somebody who trades in phones, then that falls under the category of trading stock and it would be zakatable. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we also went through the mas'ala of the nisab, the quantum, the minimum. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam We have those ahadith, although debated with regards to authenticity, that the nisab for silver, it is 20 dinars. And the nisab for gold is 20 dinars, which eventually, according to majority of the ulama, translates to 85 grams of gold. And as for silver, it is 200 dirhams, which eventually translates to 595 grams of silver. This is the opinion of majority of the ulama. And we learnt that the Hanafi scholars differ with regards to the nisab. They state, for gold, it is 87.48 grams of gold, and for silver, it is 612.36 grams of silver. Why did they differ? Brothers and sisters, go back to our previous audio and we discussed that in great detail. Alhamdulillah, what's the asl of this differing? Why do they differ in the nisab quantity? We discussed. From the dinar, you look at the mithqal. Then from the mithqal, you times this by 4.25, which was the dinar during the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. And then eventually you get your gram amount, mashallah. Question, with my rands and my dollars and my francs and all of these type of currencies, which nisab do I use? Do I use the nisab of silver, which is very low? Or do I use the nisab of gold for my trading stock? Do I use the nisab of silver, which is very low? Or do I use the nisab of gold? And you have scholars who went with gold and you have scholars who went with silver. You had some scholars who said the highest of both of them. Others who said no, the lower of two of them. We went into the proofs of those various groups of ulama. We saw that majority of the ulama state, use the nisab of silver because more people will pay zakah and there would be more who would be benefiting. We discussed the pros and cons of that opinion, and we also discussed the pros and cons of the opinion of going with the gold nisab, which in reality makes more sense, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we now move on bi'ithnillahi ta'ala to hadith number 492 from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillati al-Ahkam, authored by the great muhaddith of al-Islam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. He states, وعن عبد الله ابن أبي أوفى رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتاه قوم بصدقتهم قال اللهم صل عليهم متفق عليه. This hadith agreed upon by who? Agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. What's this hadith about? This hadith is about praying and making dua for the one who gives and pays of his zakah. So you are at some organization, you are working for the government, you are one of these zakah collectors. When you collect the zakah from the people, make dua for them, as the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done so. When people would come with to him and they would pay their zakah, what would he say? Allahumma salli alayhim, which means, oh Allah, barik lahu fi malihi, oh Allah, grant them barakah in their wealth. They are paying their zakah, you make dua for them, to them, that, oh Allah, grant them barakah in their wealth. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this hadith shows us that although these individuals are doing something which is an obligation upon them, this is not some nafil charity, no. Rather, they are paying their zakah, but still, we make dua for them. Because there's many who might not even fulfill their obligation, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, when you make dua for the donor, he's doing his obligation, but you make dua for him and you thank him, then subhanallah, he is most likely to feel that this is good, this is fantastic. He gets some sort of satisfaction from that. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Be it a Muslim organization, non-Muslim organization, you have individuals who are in charge of the donors. Make sure you phone them, make sure you keep a good rapport with them, make sure that there's no issues, etc. Update them all of the time. Here our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of responses, made dua for those who paid. Take note, brothers and sisters, that's with regards to the payer. What about the recipient? What about the dignity and the rights of the recipient, subhanAllah? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, it's something that we have to touch upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, La tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. That do not destroy your sadaqah by, you know, making the individual feel that you are doing them a favor. The hand which gives, no doubt, is better than the hand which takes. But Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the rights, the honor, the dignity of the poor, subhanAllah, that needs to be kept in place. You do not make this man who's 50, 60, 70 years old, make him stand in a line, in a queue, from the morning until the afternoon, and then say to him that, you know what, we're closing now, come back tomorrow. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You do not make him feel that he's at a loss with regards to his dignity. You do not make him feel that he stood there for the entire day, and then you gave him 3 tins of something for him to leave, which does not equate his needs. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, do not destroy your sadaqah by making people feel that you are doing them a favor. We find that many of the ulama state that you should not even request from the recipient dua. That you've given this brother something, he says, Jazakallah khair, etc. And you don't say to him, well, brother, you know what, make dua for me. That's all I need from you, make dua for me. I mean, it's not bad, no issue, no problem, it's not haram. But some ulama took the higher option, the higher route, and they said, do not request. If they make dua on their own, khair and barakah. But you do not request dua for them. Why? Because rather you get your reward in full. When you're requesting dua, it's like as if there's an exchange. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, our mother, she would say to those that she would make her wakil to go out and distribute, she would say to them that if you give the money to anyone and they make dua, then you also counter their dua with another dua. So it equals out, and so my reward is still full. They say, you know, may Allah grant you barakah. You say to them, may Allah grant you barakah. So that equals dua to the dua, and I still get my full reward for the charity. SubhanAllah. Look at what a daqiq point. What a specific point, subhanAllah. What a fine point, that's the word. What a fine point. We might not even ponder over these matters, but subhanAllah, they took cognizance of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also states in the Noble Quran, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. That the Anbiya, etc. and others, what would they say? That verily we feed you for the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Not for your reward and not for your thanks. We do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank me, don't thank me, irrelevant. I do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, when you give and you make people feel that you are doing them a favor, when you make people feel that in reality you are the high one, they are the ones who are taking, etc., etc., then there's no point to that. Rather, you kept your money to yourself. Allah states, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَىٰ. That a good word, this is better than sadaqah, which you follow it up with adha, you follow it up with harm. Allah musta'an. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, let us take cognizance with regards to the rights, the dignity of these individuals, and especially those who are involved in organizations, etc., etc. One might look at it from the other angle, that your salary is dependent upon the presence of these people. They have a haq over you, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. So do not look down upon them, do not stress them out, and do not make in reality a mockery of them. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, hadith number 493. وَعَنْ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَلَى عَنْهُ أَنَّ الْعَبَّاسِ سَأَلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمْ فِي تَعْجِيلِ صَدَقَتِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَحِلْ فَرَخَّصَ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكْ رَوَاهُ الدِّرْمِذِي وَالْحَاكِمْ. That Al-Abbas, uncle of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one of the two uncles who embraced Al-Islam. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had 4 uncles who had reached Al-Islam. 2 of them believed and 2 of them did not believe. who believed Al-Abbas and Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, and which two did not embrace Al-Islam? Abu Talib and Abu Lahab, Allah musta'an. So Al-Abbas, he sought permission from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, am I allowed to pay my zakah in advance? Yes, permission, no problem at all. And so brothers and sisters, from this hadith here we learn that there's no issue if, for example, you find it difficult once a year to pay a lump sum of zakah. So every month you take out something and you pay it in zakah and you record it. Every month, for example, you pay 500 rands a month, and so for the year this totals up to 6,000. When your zakah date comes upon yourself, work out your zakah. If let's say it totals up to 6,500, then you know you only have to pay now 500 above that which you've already paid, mashallah. If, for example, you find that your zakat technically was only 5,000, but you've paid up 6,000, alhamdulillah, khair and barakah to you, you've given more than the obligation, walhamdulillah. So paying zakat in advance, no problem at all. As for delaying in your payment of zakah, then this is something which is not allowed. This is something which is not allowed. Why? Because when your date is up, when your cycle has finished, then this wealth ceases to be your wealth. It now becomes the property of those 8 categories of people who are eligible for zakah, and you are holding on to the haqq right now. You need to pass it on to them. Brothers and sisters, from this hadith of paying zakah in advance early, we can also pull out the mas'ala which we've touched on in our previous majlis, the mal al-mustafad. Mal al-mustafad, meaning money which comes into your bank account, money which comes into your ownership during the year. So for example, you're a businessman and you have 10,000 in the bank account, or you're doing business with 100,000. Every day there's money coming in, money going out, money coming in, money going out, etc. You're buying and you're selling. Do you need to keep a record, a date for every piece of wealth? No, they follow the whole, the cycle of the original. So if, for example, you started off your business with 1 million, throughout the year it went up, it went down to 100,000, 200,000, 400,000, etc. One day before your zakah calculation, you received, and because you did a major sale, mashallah, you received 2 million. So right now your bank account is sitting with 2 million. One day later, when you're paying your zakah, do you pay zakah on the full 2 million? Yes. But this money only came into my bank account yesterday. Irrelevant. You were floating above the nisab for the full year. And this money which came in, it's the fruits, the benefits, it's like the offspring of the original money that you had. And so it follows the nisab and the cycle of the original money. And that's the opinion of the Hanafi scholars. Similarly, for example, you have in your bank account throughout the entire year 100,000. 3 days before your zakah calculation, somebody passed away and you were entitled, or rather you received $1 million inheritance. Do you include $1 million 3 days later in your zakah calculation? Yes. As long as you were above nisab, as long as this money came during the year, then it's added to whatever you have and you pay zakah on it. And that's the opinion of the Hanafi scholars with regards to mal al-mustafad. Whereas majority of the ulama state that that which had a separate reason, there's a different sabab, it's not the produce, it's not the offspring, it's not the benefits or the fruits of the original, then it follows its own cycle, like the inheritance, or like, for example, you had $1 million and then later on you got some sheep, etc. They follow their own cycle. According to majority of the scholars, follows its own cycle. But subhanAllah, you find that it's very difficult. For example, somebody who receives salary every single month, for him to keep recording all of this here for the year, very difficult. So even amongst the Shafi'i, Maliki and Hanbali scholars, the contemporaries, they state, although theoretically we go with the opinion of majority that each one has its cycle, but as for practically, it makes more sense to go with the Hanafi opinion. And by us going with the Hanafi opinion, it would be as if One is paying zakah in advance. Walhamdulillah. So either way, all is well bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So from this hadith, we learn paying zakah in advance. No problem with that. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break. And when we return, we touch upon the topic of zakah on gold jewelry that the female makes use of. بإذن الله تعالى حياكم الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.